Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. So welcome back to another edition of Trendy presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And last week I had Eddie Spaghetti on, and his beloved hockey bit him in the butt at the very end. Empty goal net cost him the week, but it did mean his Rangers moved on. He did lose to me as a result of 17.3 to 16.4. This week we are probably not going to talk nearly as much hockey, I would guess, because I have Martin Weiss. What do you think, Martin? Is it all puck this week, or are we going to spend most of our time on round ball?
Yeah, we will be spending most of the time on basketball. I can't even come up with a pithy joke because I'm not watching any hockey. The Red Wings aren't in it. I don't even know that hockey's being played. It's always... You know when I know I have the wrong channel is when I see the commercial for the hockey game come on. Because like, oh, all right, so it's on TNT tonight, not ESPN. Or it's on ESPN, not TNT. That's how I know.
Yeah. Oh, well, we all need our little ways to get through life. You've got your little signposts. So, Martin, we are going to talk a lot of basketball this week. Excited to have you back on, as always, as the host of Lemon Pepper Parlay NBA edition. It's natural. That's where we're going to focus our attention. And after watching hoops all weekend, playoffs, etc., now that we're on the other side of the NFL draft, like, it's clear this is the NBA's time to shine. Like, this is the farthest that the NFL fades into the background, right? Like, draft is done. Mini camps are ways away. Training camps are ways away. This is the NBA's place. Like, you famously always talk about how you think they should shift the schedule, start later, so that they have their ability. Like, we're in it right now. And I think it's startling once we have this bright spotlight on the league, how many of the stars are going to be gone? Durant, Curry, LeBron. I'm already writing LeBron off. Like, no offense to the King, but they're not coming back to beat the Nuggets, right? So,
to win game four.
Lucky to win game four. And so that one win, that game four win, is going to be the only postseason win for Durant, Curry, LeBron combined. And like, we're entering into this Olympics run. The Paris Olympics is going to be a very natural, like, coup de grace for these guys. Let's all celebrate them. Let's wave the flag. This is going to be a great basketball moment. But, you know, we're chasing over in the league. And so I guess I looked at the previous changeover, Martin, and I just wanted to talk to you about that. When we had Jordan leave, we pretty quickly had Kobe and Shaq come in, and Kobe and Shaq kind of fought their way against each other. Then LeBron came in, right? And so we've had this, like, natural progression for a very long time, Bird, Magic, Jordan into that group. I don't see as natural progression here, and I don't know if that's scary for the league or if that's an opportunity for the league. So what do you think, like, the face of the league looks like 3 years from now?
I think, first of all, it's an opportunity. Like, it's an opportunity also to reset the way that some of the NBA is covered and talked about, right? Like, if you think about the NFL, for example, if the Jacksonville Jaguars start out the season 13-0, or the Seattle Seahawks start out the season 13-0, or the Kansas City Chiefs start the season out 13-0, they're all going to be getting a significant amount of attention, right? Yes. This year, you had Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves finish up right before the last game of the year. They were the top two seeds in the Western Conference. Nobody knew. Like, if you just watched, you know, standard sports television, nobody knew. Nobody knew. So I think it's a great opportunity because, like you said, this is the time to shine. And I'd say, you say you don't see any natural progression. Well, I think we do, because when we see some of the numbers that Nikola Jokic is putting up in postseason games, they're up there. I can't remember what the exact numbers were. I want to say maybe it was 35 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists in playoff games. He's had four of those, and the rest of the NBA combined had four combined in his career. So you take that aspect right there of him, and sure, okay, if you don't like Jokic, maybe he's a little slow for you, maybe he doesn't jump high enough for you. I can understand that. Well, tune into Minnesota, because Anthony Edwards is ready to have you eating your popcorn.
When you said slow and doesn't jump high enough, I thought you if you said Luka, my head was gonna fly off. Like that's another guy that fits in the exact same description. Edwards is incredible, but Jokic is a very interesting case, Martin. Like, isn't Jokic more of like the Tim Duncan mold? Like just quiet, excellent, might have one of the top 10 careers ever, one of the best guys in the league perpetually at all time, but not on commercials, not leading the league, not, you know, something that it should sell tickets, but not like international box office. You know what I mean? Like he seems more
Sure.
in that Duncan line. Like, you know, we need like the Kobe, we need the LeBron, we need like the star power, or do we? Like, that's actually what I want to explore. Like the NFL ultimate team game, right? Like Kelce's super famous for dating Tyler for Taylor Swift. Like Brady's had his moment. Rodgers had his moment before he went off the deep end. Like we've had a couple of guys, but it's not like there's 50 famous, like internationally famous guys in the NFL. MLB, like regional sport now. You know what I mean? Like there aren't no famous baseball players outside of Shohei Ohtani. And even he is like would be what 25th on the famous ratings if we like brought in 24 NBA players. Like soccer and NBA are the leagues that are like balanced between team success and superstar success in somewhat equal measure. And like without that Kobe, without that LeBron, is it Edwards or do we even need it? Are we better off like refocusing on team, like thinking about the international pipeline? Like maybe these guys are famous, you know, in their home countries, and it doesn't matter if they're not singing bad doo-wop songs on commercials here in America. Like, what do you think?
I think it's healthier for the league to have great teams. And obviously you need players that are going to be like the star of the movie, right? But you could have Tom Hanks and Elvis, and that movie sucks anyway, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, so you need to have, not only do you need to have your Tom Hanks or your Nikola Jokic, right? Or in that to go with that. You also have to have a great supporting cast around. But also, I think it will help the NBA grow because this is something that did not exist in when I was a kid growing up. But then, as soon as, because LeBron is only 3 years older than me, right? So I was witness, for lack of a better term, to the whole kind of rise and fall of his career, right? As we see him probably getting swept out of the playoffs tonight. And I remember watching St. Vincent St. Mary's, right? So when I was a kid, I was a Pelicans fan, which was then the New Orleans Hornets, right? There was no level of like, oh, I'm just a Kobe fan because Kobe, because that's my favorite player. Now, I think what ends up happening is we lose these, you know, the Mount Rushmore of the early 2000s of LeBron and Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry and so on. It'll give guys an opportunity to go back and root for their home teams, right? And so then you can develop up a more fervent fan base. So like the idea, like what's the worst team in the NFL? Let's just say off the Cleveland Browns or the last or the Detroit Lions prior to last season,
Panthers.
right? Panthers, right? No one says, oh, there's no such thing as a Panthers fan. Like
That's
there's
right.
no such thing as a Clippers fan in the grand scheme of things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but the worst team in the NFL still will sell out a game if they turn out to be good, right? So I think that the idea behind it is build up more teams, build up more interest regionally, and then that is the rising tide that can lift all boats.
It is a very interesting place for the league to find itself because like the player empowerment era that LeBron brought in for the last decade has just overtaken all the narrative off the court about the sport. And so like the foreign players don't as of yet seem to be as swept away in the player empowerment era, right? Like Jokic might play his whole career with the Nuggets, Luka might play his whole career with the Mavericks, Giannis might play his whole career with the Bucks. Like these guys haven't been forcing them their way out early on in contracts or mid-level career. And so as a result, like we have guys in like that 27 to 32 range, because you have the old guard that we've already discussed on its way out. Then you've got like that middle prime career, and then you've got some of the young kids. That middle prime career is dominated by foreign players. It is dominated by like the Jokic. It's
True.
dominated by Luka. It's dominated by Giannis. Like the guys we've already laid off. Like Embiid obviously falls in that class as well. Like I know he's playing for Team USA, but it's not a guy who really like
He ain't
scans as
from
coming through the
here
system.
though. He got funny paperwork. That's like when the kid take, you know, he put his grandma's house down so we can go to that public school instead of the other public school that is actually in the neighborhood. That's what Embiid did. And you know what? Wake up Jason Tatum in the Boston Celtics, because that's the guy who should be, if you're going to be an American in that middle range career. Well, it's about time, JT and JB. But I'll say, you know, this has been the conversation. Is this era over, right? The era ended, honestly, with LeBron in the bubble. You know how they say the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was convincing him he doesn't exist?
Sure.
The greatest trick that Steph Curry ever pulled was finding a way to make Andrew Wiggins play in a way we've never seen before and never seen since. And pulling that rabbit out of the hat in 2022, and when they went and beat that rookie head coach, Ime Udoka, and that same Boston Celtics team, who then, and we don't talk about this, maybe you have to edit it out, but Ime Udoka ended up getting fired for all types of wild stuff going on in the Boston Celtics organization. Maybe, just maybe, they weren't fully locked in on winning a championship.
Fair enough. But you bring up JT, you bring up that group. Like, I think that's the interesting part. Like, that's actually what I'm building towards. And so, like, the progression we saw previously was player to player to player. Like, you know, Magic and Bird to MJ. Like, we just went through that list. It was all through player. But has the foreign influence now broken the chain of player empowerment, and now it's team to team to team? Because it seems like the Celtics with Jason Tatum, the Celtics are still a bigger brand than Jason Tatum. And like, sure, the Celtics are one of the biggest brands there are, but like, you know, plenty of people transcended the Lakers brand. It's possible to transcend even the blue blood brands.
So I'd say the thing that is the quiet part out loud about the whole player empowerment era, it's true for some, right? Like, mm-hmm. LeBron could pick his spots. Kevin Durant could pick his spots. But like, I'm trying to think of like Damian Lillard didn't get traded until the very end of his career, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, or there's it worked for the A1 top of the class. But like, there was no, like, DeMar DeRozan wasn't saying, I'm holding out until you send me somewhere. Like, you know, it was a handful of guys, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. And I guess if you want to throw Steph Curry in there as well, because he never left, but he was kind of like the shining beacon of the guy who never left, right? But probably could have. That was it. Like, Donovan Mitchell didn't call his shot. He wanted to go to the Knicks. He plays in Cleveland, right? Like, you know, there's like, player empowerment only existed for like a certain handful of guys. And I think what we're ending up seeing now is those same guys who would be in that position are less likely to jump.
Yeah, look, man, I think there's dual lessons here. Like, if we're moving more from like era from players to like teams that can pass it through, and that's going to be the next little mini era in basketball, like Thunder, Wolves, Nuggets, like these non-market teams that like their guys probably aren't the next Nike spokesman, but they're still going to go out and hang banners. Like, the mistake you actually make is trying to keep the player empowerment era alive for guys who have no business being in it, as you're just talking about. Like, my biggest takeaway from the weekend is just how giant of a disaster the Bradley Beal trade is for the Suns. Like, that they gave up all those assets to bring in a guy who was like, he was wearing number three and he was taking the third role in the offense to like the nth degree. Like, Booker and Durant were looking to play through each other. They were like passing the ball back and forth, like for these turns of one-on-ones. Beal was just standing there with his hands on his hip making $50 million, and it costed him four pick swaps and like every second round pick this decade. And so, like, if we're going to move from team to team, I think there's a gambling opportunity here, Martin, bringing back to the point of the show, right? Like, the teams are being underestimated versus the superstars. I've done it myself. I didn't take I gave out Wolves plus 152 over the Suns in game three and second guess Express last week because I was afraid of Durant. Like, there's games this year I was like, I'm afraid of Curry, you know, like, I'm not going to take the team that I know is better. And as long as there's still a marketplace in there where like the stars are still driving the public's perception, these teams that are sliding in against an aging star that's on their way out, there's got to be an opportunity there to make some money.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, just, and you know what? Don't worry, because it's not just you. How many times did you hear in games 75-82. Well, the Lakers should really try to do this and that so they don't have to play Denver, because if they don't play, if they meet Denver or vice versa, they shouldn't, because when they do want to play Denver, it's in the first round. It's like, yeah, they don't matter when they're going to play Denver. They're going to get mollywopped and steamrolled regardless. Like, you are hoping for a We Are Marshall type situation with Denver, if you're thinking that they're actually going to lose to Los Angeles, right? Like, this is going to be something drastic would have to happen. And it's, but, you know, people are still trying to cotton pick and say, hey, if you go this way, if you go that way, right? So don't feel foolish. I mean, hell, I picked the Bucks to beat the Pacers, and the injury report's doing me no favors, but it was because I was like, Damian Lillard's going to not, he's just not going to get, he's not going home like this. Like, not like this. Not like the girl from The Matrix at the end. Not like this.
Well, I mean, people who listen to the show know that I've been on the Wolves and the Thunder and the Magic, so I didn't fall all the way into it. But now I'm, like, leaning all the way the other way. Like, you'll see in my picks today, it's just all about the teams over the superstars. And I just think that this is a trend that's worth following over the next couple of years, not just the next couple of weeks. Like, Durant, I don't know how he's going to get out of that Suns situation. Curry, you know, is, like, moving into the next level. And guys that can go 9 deep, particularly in the regular season, are going to take advantage of soft lines against superstar-led teams.
I mean, because especially when you look at it, like Hubie Brown said it in game one of this of the Phoenix Minnesota series. He was like looking at the bench numbers, and he's like, oh, Phoenix is going to have to score more off the bench. And I kind of was like, Hubie, he must not have seen the Suns too much this year. But the fact remains is that what are you doing at the start of the second quarter when you're sitting two stars? Like, are you still scoring? Are you like, we always talk about, like, the non, like, for example, you're playing Philadelphia. What did you do in the non-Embiid minutes, right? What did you do in the non-Jokic minutes?
It's a disaster.
Well, if you're getting ran off the court when Jokic is on the bench, guess what? Guess what's happening when he comes back in?
Yeah, those Embiid off the court numbers are just absolute disaster and really tell the tale of the series. Just to put a final bow on it, I think Edwards is actually the only guy currently in the league right now who has the chance to be a face of the league type guy. Like, I don't think it's going to be Tatum. I don't think it's going to be SGA. I don't think it's going to be Jokic or Giannis or Embiid or Luka or any of those things. I think he's the only one who could stand alone and, like, carry that lineage forward. But I'm not confident it's going to be him either. There's also a chance that it goes – because everything just goes around the bend, right? Like, time's a flat circle. Like, we could have this team era for the next decade, and then, you know, some, like, 12-year-old right now is actually the next face of the league.
I'm holding out hope for Demetrius Ja Morant in Memphis as well. He's hurt the most of this year, because here's the thing. Now, if he comes out and doesn't get in trouble and plays, you know, at a high level, now not only do you have – he was already, I mean, signature shoots type guy, but on top of that, he'll also have been, like, he learned from his mistakes, and what a great story to see what he did with the second chance, and so on and so forth. So the storyline there could take over, but I Jason Tatum is too vanilla, right? You need somebody with a little like, I don't know if you saw the post game interview or the clip from it Anthony Edwards told Carlton, like, was telling the reporters that he told Carlton Towns to stop effing fouling. Right, it's like, stop fouling, and he's like, you saw what happened when you don't foul. Like, you're the number one guy on the team. We need you. Don't foul. And all of a sudden, and then the reporter goes, "Yeah, you know, he did have this and this. Yeah, he wasn't fouling. You know, it's like he needs a little. Like, Jason Tatum's movie would be very boring. Anthony Edwards, when he was in the movie Hustle, was actually pretty good playing himself, but still, the Kermit Washington resonates in a different way.
Yeah. I agree, and I think it'll be interesting to track. But hopefully our picks are interesting to track. Let's go ahead and take our break, give Caesar some love, and then get into this week's contest.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem, Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Martin, we are back. It is time to play Heart, Head, Heat, or Cred, where we go through the best ways to wager for casual cappers. I won last week against Eddie, but you know what? I'm going to defer. I'm going to defer to you, my friend, because the last time you were on here, you put up the second highest score in history and beat me by a good 10 units. And so given how well you did last time, I'm going to go ahead and give you honors on this Monday.
So for my heart, is broken making this heart pick because my dad is going to text me all types of nasty things about CJ McCollum tonight, as he has been the last few times. You know, CJ, come the extra points. It's time to podcast. You know what I'm saying? It's time. You know, have space in the lineup for Wines of the World with CJ McCollum and the extra points podcast family? Like, you know, like come on over to Omaha, pal.
It's time
to join the squad. I'm going to go ahead and take the Thunder to cover. The Pelicans are just, you know, it was a good run. They tried Zion's healthiest season, but again, in that play-in game, it was the ultimate dichotomy of Zion's entire career, if you listen to Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast over the last few years, I'm not surprised. And Mark Gunnels is still like, dang gone it, how could this have happened again? I don't know, maybe because he needs to play 17 games of football instead of 82 of basketball, Zion Williamson, I'm talking about. But without him being even the flawed dynamic player that he is, they just don't have enough juice to get any squeeze out of. It's a terrible matchup because Valanciunas can't handle Chet, and he can't do anything Valanciunas can't do anything on the offensive side with the ball to make Chet a problem. And yeah, Oklahoma City is going to get, this will be the second sweep of the first round right here tonight with Oklahoma City covering the 4.5.
So it's up to 5 at Caesars. So you're going to have to lay the 5. And the reason I know that is we didn't exchange picks beforehand. And this is actually my cred pick. And it's funny. I put down Thunder -5, -110. And then I said, I don't know the case for the Pelicans. Martin, maybe you could make it. So it seems like you are not going to make it on their behalf. They played one inspired game of the three so far and still lost that matchup, and then got absolutely destroyed by a combined 53 points over the next two games. And I didn't even think they were that close. Like, especially game 3 came together in garbage time. That was really like a 30-40 point blowout. Ingram does not seem like the kind of guy to rally for a gentleman sweep. Like, he doesn't have that kind of pride. He is packed for Galveston. He is ready to go. I don't see any argument for it whatsoever. So I'm not going to put 1 in my heart and your broken heart. I'm putting 2 units on that in my cred bet.
It's hard to argue. Hard to argue because I don't see a way. I mean, the Pelicans, maybe the Oklahoma City will miss every shot or something like that, but the Pelicans aren't going to score over 100 points today. And
I was actually looking at adjusting it up. Like, I would be more likely to, like, rather than bet the Pelicans, like, I'd rather take the Thunder like by 12 than actually take the Pelicans by 1, given the odds that you would get.
It's not a bad idea. It's fun. It's not. I already have a plus play for my cred, or I think about doing something like that.
All right, well, let me get my heart out the way so I can keep going with the format. On heart, I'm going with the squarest man in America. Martin is going with a square bet, but I feel damn good about this one. I am going with the Nuggets and the Celtics, not on a pure money line, but on Caesars, you can adjust anything. And I am taking both of them -2.5. So they at least win by 3 in this game. And you put that together, you actually get this at -124. So you could push the odds way down. As we already talked about, teams over anything else. Nuggets and Celtics are the best teams. LeBron goes out on his shield, but he does go out tonight, and he goes out by at least a possession. And then, like the Heat, I will be happy to take my chances that they don't have another historically great three-point shooting night in front of all the empty seats down in Miami. No home court advantage. Guys aren't even going to be watching the third quarter, and they're not going to have to because they're going to be down by double digits. So put these two together, you get -124 for the perennial, not the perennial, but the prohibitive finals favorite.
Yeah, I like both of those, but it is a little square, but you know, it's not quite a money line parlay. But I'll go ahead and take the Nuggets -7.5 here on this for this for head, because quite honestly, I am rooting for the Lakers' demise at this point. I'm sick of the conversation, so much of the attention paid to this team, which I said 3 months ago, I said, this is a bad team. And I said, the Lakers and the Warriors were bad teams. And people were like, what? Hold on. Why can they be a bad team? They got LeBron Aston. No, they're bad teams. They're bad. And one of them missed the playoffs entirely, and the other one barely made it because they had to play in the play-in tournament, right? This is not a team that is threatening. And for whatever reason, it broke right last year for the Lakers to where they could get to the Western Conference Finals when the reality of the situation is all they did was trade Russell Westbrook and start playing some of the guys that were on the bench. They didn't take a good enough self-accounting into themselves to say, okay, we need to make some moves here and try to improve this roster. This team is in desperate need of a big and in desperate need of somebody who can score the basketball. They don't have either, and neither one is going to – the Austin Reeves ain't going to be that guy. D'Angelo Russell ain't going to be that guy. They need somebody else, and they're not going to find them today. So I'm taking the Nuggets to cover.
No argument for me. It's going to be very interesting, Martin. Like, I was just thinking about it as you were talking. As we enter round two, I guess if the Mavericks come through against the Clippers, Luka will be the second best player left in the playoffs. But if they go out to the Clippers, I mean, is it Tatum? Is it Edwards? Like, the gap between one and two has got to be as wide as it's ever been in the history of the second round. I guess since Michael Jordan retired, because he's levitated above everybody anyway.
It may be, but you won't find me discrediting Anthony Edwards. I love the way that kid plays. Because when he is shooting poorly, it doesn't even matter because he's still playing defense. He's still moving the ball. He's not turning the ball over. He's not getting frustrated. He plays like he's a 30-year-old vet, and he's only 22.
Well, another reason I want the Nuggets to win, I prefer they don't cover. I guess I'd like them to win by 3 and not 7, so you don't win your bet. But the other reason is I just want to get to the series, right? Like, I want Nuggets and Timberwolves to tip off whatever Thursday or Friday. I don't want them to go back to LA and all of a sudden, like, Edwards and Nuggets don't get it on until next week. Let's just, like, get to that series. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's time to end the previews and get to the real show.
Yeah. All right, well, on his way out of the preview, I am going to try to make a little bit of money off LeBron. My head pick is LeBron and Donovan Mitchell, surprisingly, both over 1.5 first quarter assists. You get this play together at Caesars at +192. And the reason it's a head pick, Martin, is LeBron and Donovan have both hit 2 in every game of the playoffs so far. Like, this is something that they're both doing as they try to get their teammates involved. LeBron has to, because he's aware the total team effort it's going to take to have any shot against the Nuggets, and he's well past the stage of trying to cape up and score like 60 to 70 himself. Not that that was ever the way that LeBron approached basketball. So he's been distributing early, right from the tip, and been getting, you know, 2 assists, no problem. I think he had 8 one game. He had 5 another one. So I feel great about that leg. The other one surprised me, but the numbers are the numbers, and that's why it's a head pick. Donovan Mitchell isn't somebody I think of as an elite distributor, but the Magic have such good on-ball defense that you kind of have to move the ball in order to break them down. He tries to, you know, throw the cape on later and go a little bit more isolationist. But in the first quarter, he has been keeping the ball moving, and as a result, has 2 assists in every game so far. So hope he does it one more game. I feel great about the LeBron leg. And if Spider comes through for me, I'm looking at almost 2-1 here.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Donovan Mitchell, though, he's been – it depends on how he's feeling, it seems, before if he wants to have a good game or bad game. His last game, it was pretty doggone bad between him and Darius Garland.
Yeah. Well, that series is really interesting. I mean, I've stayed away from it from a betting standpoint, but you need Cleveland to have a better player, right, for the Magic to fit into the narrative, because Cleveland is lacking the super – Orlando's the better team, and Cleveland doesn't have the superstar that, like, stands up to the way the rest of these series are matching up. So I've avoided that one for 4 straight games, but I'm thrilled the Magic came back after I backed them all year and didn't just get, like, blown out and then, like, go into next season with a cloud over them. I think they should be a top 4 seed again next year, and getting this playoff experience should aid that cause.
Well, they'll be able to do it because they're going to have some playoff experience now, because I'm going to go ahead with my Heat, right? That's the one we play multiple times per week.
There you go, the pattern.
Magic in 6, all right? They win tomorrow, and they win on Friday, taking the Magic on the money line, whatever it is. If you like the series betting right now, it's plus 140 on Caesars, but... So whichever one, however you want to grade me, I like the Magic for this entire series. I think they win the next 2 games, and I think that's how they end up doing it.
So, Martin, I'll tell you what, that's going to conclude this week, because Game 7 would be Sunday. Why don't we give you the money line in 5 and 6? If you win both bets, we'll give you a credit and a half on each. If you lose one of them, we'll give you a free roll on Sunday for Game 7. So Orlando money line all week for your Heater pick.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, in honor of my friend here, the host of Lemon Pepper Parlay, my heater is I am playing 2-team NBA parlays all week. And I'm going to start with the Knicks money line versus the Pacers -3.5 +203. The Pacers part of this is really easy. Like, Dame time has expired. The Pacers fall into that team mentality. I know Halliburton has been their fulcrum for most of the year, but he doesn't rise to the point of, like, global superstar where you expect him to go against the guy who has all these commercials in Dame, or not that Giannis is playing, but the way that the Bucks are constructed. I think the Pacers will continue to dismantle the Bucks, and the Bucks are going home. So I'm happy to get that 3.5, because I don't even think it's going to be that close. And then on the other part of the line, like, the Garden's the ultimate six man. And I think that they're going to break off like a 9-0 run sometime in the third corner. We're actually going to see Embiid's spirit break. His shoulders are going to slump. His head's going to go down. His knees are going to be extra crickety. You're going to see him walk into the bench. And you're going to know that game is over. And the crowd is going to make sure that there is no coming back. And so I think they close it out right here at the Garden. I think Embiid has put up a Warriors fight. He is not healthy enough to combat the team of the Garden's destiny right now. And it is over in Game 5.
Yeah, I agree with both of those. I agree with both of those. If Milwaukee was going to win, and, you know, they did eject Bobby Portis early in that game, first of all, which was crazy. Ain't nobody coming to see you, James Capers. Like, 2 technical fouls and an ejection before we hit the 5-minute mark of the first quarter. Like, what could they possibly have done? What could they possibly have done? That's so bad. Blow the whistle, double text are the lamest thing in sports, but give maybe one of those before we're kicking guys out and giving technicals for the too small sign. But ultimately, if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, that's just wishful thinking thing. If Bobby Portis didn't get ejected, maybe you would have had a shot. They still would have lost that game by 10, more than likely, with that Indiana team. They just don't have – they literally don't have their guys. Like, they without their guys, they're not going to be able to win anything.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I'm not going to be able to win anything if you hit all your cred picks this week. So go ahead and give out. What do you got 2 units on?
I have 2 units on Aaron Gordon having a bounce back game. And I think that bounce back game comes in the form of a double-double, which is right here. There it is. Player Aaron Gordon to have a double-double +275. He's going to finish this game with 12 points and 15 rebounds as the Nuggets dispatch of the Lakers. He honestly was the reason why. I know the Nuggets, Jamal Murray hadn't been playing his best. and Jokic necessarily what didn't have a lights out game, game four. To me, Aaron Gordon is the reason why they lost. I'm not like pointing super big fingers at him as it's his fault, but I think if he had played at the level that he has played in games one and two, then they would not be playing anymore. But I think they'll go ahead and he will bounce back as the type of player that he is, the type of impact that he has on both the offensive and defensive side of the floor.
I am tailing that pick. I didn't think of it, but now that you brought it up, I did not know plus 275 was going to be the odds. And so like that number, that's great value. He has a double-double in two of the four games this year. You're right. He was a no-show on Saturday, but a 29-15 in game three, 12-11 in game one, 14-7. He wasn't even like wildly far off in game two. So plus 275 seems way too high. I think game four is the aberration and three is more the norm about what you could expect for him out of this diminished Lakers squad.
Yeah, that's what I think. I just misspoke. Game four, he just had a bad game. Like, he just didn't play well. He's throwing the ball all over the place. Has had some key turnovers, but being back at home, being back in the altitude, I think he'll bounce right back to form. And as they're packing up the Los Angeles Lakers, and I'll tell your square man parlay there.
Where you change the
odds and all of that. Change the spreads. I'll tell that.
Watch out, Martin. I'm going to convert you after all. You're not just going to fade the masses. They're not always asses. Sometimes they cast some bets.
Every so often, especially L. You look at just like the last calendar year, the public's been going crazy. So who knows?
All right. Well, join the revolution, my friend. Let's go ahead and give our sponsors a little bit more love and then come back to our Second Guess Express and get into all this playoff action. All right, Martin, we are back. I gave you honors earlier. I will claim them here. I was all hoops all the time, and I'll probably try to stay that way for most of the week, but they're still playing baseball. They're still going out there. There's 162 games. It's every single day. It's relentless, and you can still gamble on it, and there's great value to be found out there, particularly early in the season. One such value is the Nationals and Marlins. Nobody is watching this series. So who the hell is going to watch two of the worst teams in baseball play an April series when all this other great sports is going on? But at a 8-run line, the over is great value at minus 115 with no one paying attention. They combined for 21 runs yesterday, 15 runs the day before. You're talking about two teams with young, hungry lineups that also struggle from the hump. So both teams can easily get 5 to 6 runs, and double digits for either team is also absolutely a possibility. Lows, or the unders are typically low for crappy teams because you think about their struggles mainly at the plate, but both of these guys can't pitch either. Combined starters tonight is close to 9 on the ERA scale. 8 seems like a great line at minus 115.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all, especially when you consider that Jake Irvin's giving up 1.3 whip. Like, that'll, yeah, 2.3 walks. Yeah, you're in good shape there. At least I'll say this. There's going to be people on the base paths. Yeah. So if there's going to be people, that's the best way to try to hit it over, is knowing that there's going to be guys running. My second guess express is going to be a game of these games that nobody's going to watch, the Pelicans and the Thunder, as the Thunder make quick work of them. I'm taking Pelicans under team total 100.5. I think that they have not scored over 92 in any of the prior three. I don't see any reason why that should change tonight. So you get under 100.5 at plus 110.
Yeah, I mean, another reason to adjust the Thunder up rather than the Pelicans down. Like, the Thunder are definitely going to be in the 105 to 115 range. And so if the Pelicans can't crack triple digits, then that's an easy cover for the Thunder. I like that quite a bit. It's like, what's the scenario? The scenario you lose is hot three-point shooting, but the scenario you lose any NBA bet is hot three-point shooting. If you try to avoid hot three-point shooting, just don't bet. Like, avoid the league altogether.
And let's be honest, at this point, you know, I don't know what adjustments that Willie Green is going to make, but if they involve CJ McCollum, well, he could shoot as many as he'd like, right? You know, like, that, he's just, the Pelicans aren't built for this moment, unfortunately.
Is there any athlete in all the sports you're more down on right now than CJ McCollum? You have been killing him on Lemon Pepper.
Probably not. I don't think so. Probably not.
Mr. Irrelevant, your own power rankings of great athletes at present. So yeah, come on, I'd CJ.
Probably not, because it just was never a good fit. And he's supposed to be like the second guy, and now he's just a 6'2 guy who can't shoot and is just getting, I mean, he's getting, he's falling all over the place on the defensive side of the ball. Like, there's multiple, like, if you just scroll on Twitter, see, I know you're not on Twitter, so you don't see this type of stuff, but if you just scroll CJ McCollum's name in a search, it's just so many different plays of somebody crossing him up and him sliding across the floor or him missing shots. This is like, wow, there's no highlights anywhere. It's remarkable.
Congratulations, David Carr. You're out of last place for at least a couple more days.
Oh, you saw, hey, no kidding, no joke. I had Spencer Rattler as my third favorite quarterback in this class.
Oh, yeah.
As the idea that he's in New Orleans, hey. We might be back, baby. We might be back.
Who was second? Who was first and second?
First was Caleb Williams and then Jaden Daniels. Then okay. I like Spencer, then Drake May, and then Penix and Nix. You know, they're fine. But I would have the idea that Penix was the top 10 pick and Nix 12th is crazy to me. Like that, but that's a topic for another day.
Well, as a Commanders fan, and you as a LSU, you know, being from Louisiana, if you told me Jaden Daniels was not even a top 10 quarterback, I might have had to go ahead and log off the Zoom right now because I don't know how I'm going to live with that uncertainty at that position for much longer. But maybe
Daniels can play. He's just old, but he can play.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see here. Hopefully people say the same thing about me, that I'm old and I can still play. We'll see how my picks turn out this week to see if I can keep up with the hot shot like you. What are you and Mark going to be talking about on Lemon Pepper besides CJ McCollum and LeBron?
Oh, well, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Lakers' funeral, right? I'm going to have to do a wellness check on him because he the scorcher he busted out last week. As he was watching the Nuggets, he's like, is this what it's like watching the Chiefs play? And I was just like, not quite, because the Chiefs are better. But see, the way that this sets up perfectly for Martin is if – so this is the way it plays out perfectly. The Pelicans somehow steal this game tonight, even though I know I just bet all against it. But then let me talk about for the agendas, because all I've been screaming is how come Anthony Edwards got no MVP love? Anthony Edwards is sitting watching these games on the couch just like you and me. Not because he lost, but because he dispatched of the other team in four games. So if he goes and beats the Nuggets, oh, Toby, I'll do Lemon Pepper with my feet up. I'll be because not only will the Nuggets have not won the title, which I don't care if the Nuggets win the title or not. Like, I'm not married to, you know, but Mark has built them up in his head so much now. Because they're handling the Lakers so handily that if the Nuggets lose in the second round, then it just shows just how this was like, just no, this is, no, the Lakers were that bad, pal. They were that bad. So well, that's kind of what I'm rooting for.
Nobody's ready for the Thunder to take out the Nuggets and Chet be the star of that game. You're going to have to take a lot of your takes back if that happens, but I don't think we'll get to that point. We'll see.
No, I'll tell you this right here. The idea that this kid played 82 games, I tipped my cap because I wasn't expecting it and I didn't see it. And I figured that this is a zero. I would have lost so much money if somebody had said, I bet you Chet plays all 82. I would have took out a reverse mortgage on the home I'm about to buy. I don't even have it yet.
Fair enough. So -3, we're post-draft now, so those guys will be digging more into the Pirates and Steelers from the 1970s, I bet, and other things that are going on right now, such as Kevin Hench's dominant Bruins and Celtics. We'll be back with Covered in Glory, of course, on Thursday as we have the run-in for the Premier League Championship, and Extra Points will be back on Wednesday with more comedians as they get ready for the Tom Brady roast. I know that's going to be really a lot of fun on Netflix, and Sarah's put a lot of great work into it. So another exciting work week here on Extra Points. Last week was a little more exciting with the draft, but we'll continue to make everything the best of everything we can because you can gamble on everything. Enjoy the playoffs, maybe even enjoy some hockey. Martin and I might get lost. Our channels might be stuck over from the NBA the night before, catch a hockey game. Doubtful, but maybe we'll talk about it Wednesday. Take care, everyone.